You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Hello. Hey. Hi. And good evening. And welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off ENN by saying happy birthday to the hitman, Bret Hart. Ah, that's right. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. What a great birthday week. So many great birthdays this week. Larry David, 73 today.
I have a birthday wish. I have a birthday wish.
A birthday what?
Oh, hello? Michael.
No, he didn't.
Oh, sure.
He just disappeared?
Just disappeared.
Michael.
Out. Done. Over.
Okay.
Oh.
Back?
Hello.
There he is.
We got him back.
Am I here?
You're here.
I have a birthday wish to give out.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
2 days from now, July 4th, the great John Sterling.
Oh, no. John Sterling was what he was going to say.
Cool.
Also, George Steinbrenner was born on July 4th.
Asparagus.
We were lucky to have Michael as long as we had him.
Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
And I don't know how many people out there saw the Kevin Knox dump.
That's a classic. We don't play that.
I agree. We don't play it enough.
That's a good one.
I'd also like to say, if I can.
I'm back.
Good.
All right. We got through all of it. John Sterling. Also, George Steinbrenner was born on this day. Let's move on.
I have had barbecue
John Sterling's 82.
Obviously, in my mouth.
Yeah, John Sterling's 82. Does he want the world to know that?
Why not?
Yeah, he's fine with it now.
Tabasco sauce.
What about good evening to Don also?
Those are facts!
Are they?
I do well.
Yeah, sure you do.
So they had me change my name to David Andrews.
Was that a dream?
No, that was what I did when I was working at the Fan, and then also wanted to moonlight at 1010 Wins or CBS 880.
What?
And that's when Ian Eagle came up to me and said, listen, I think you could be better at what you do with updates. I think you're really struggling. If you really want to listen to somebody who does a great update, you got to listen to David Andrews.
And, that's and he was talking about you.
My leg. And we were saying this earlier, Michael. I don't think you were on when I said that we really miss Ian Eagle as a potential guest.
It's not right.
Because he would be amazingly funny and informative, and it'll never happen.
Yeah, he refuses to come on.
And I admire it.
Out of allegiance to FAN.
Yes.
Do you think it's... Do you
I
think
don't. I'm over it.
Yeah, come on. Thank you. I appreciate it, Michael. Who's better to him? FAN or
I mean,
guys?
I love Ian. He's one of my favorite people, but come on. So, I mean, we're also on Yes, too. He has an allegiance to Yes.
Well, guys, let's start, shall we?
Shall we?
We were just talking about the Knicks, and it's true. Patrick Ewing has endorsed Tom Thibodeau as Knicks head coach. Now, here's what he had to say about Thibodeau. I think Tom's a great coach, Ewing said. I had the opportunity to have him be on the staff when I played and also work with him. He's been around a lot of years. He knows the game in and out. He's going to do everything he needs to do in terms of having his team prepared to play every night. I think he'd be a great candidate for the job. The Knicks currently have 11 confirmed candidates. That's all. And they're all being interviewed via video calls. Thibodeau, supposedly the front runner. Other coaches with NBA experience, Kenny Atkinson, Mike Miller, the current coach, Mike Woodson, and Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, come on.
Yeah, I'm not a
also, that
believer.
Really must make that must make Mark Jackson feel great, former teammate with Patrick Ewing, and he's endorsing Thibodeau. And I don't think the endorsement, no offense to Patrick Ewing, it doesn't help Thibodeau.
Tom,
there's no way
Thibodeau
that Patrick would be hired as he would never be hired. I don't think Jim Dolan looks at him as a head coach.
Well, he might have just been asked about Thibodeau.
I don't think you're pronouncing his name right,
Tom. Right, but you know, then
I'm pretty sure that.
So don't say any. I mean, especially.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure.
He's joking. Go.
I'm pretty sure, Don. I just looked it up. Pretty sure the proper pronunciation is Tom Thibodeau.
And you laugh and you just encourage it, Don.
That's why I played it. I knew Don liked it so much.
I thought it was funny.
Everyone in the audience takes joy when Don gets this way. So I wanted. I think it was the sound "ayau" that made him laugh. Tom Thibodeau.
I respect the fact you went for it.
Thank you. Now let's move on. Was that current RJ or was that a drop?
You're going to cause an injury.
That was a drop.
No, this is him.
No, that he just played a drop.
But you're red now in real life.
I'm sorry. I find something funny. I laugh.
And today we had Diana Rossini on the show, and that was nothing will ever pass the one of the great tidbits all time on the show when Don truly. Truly lost it for a full 5 minutes. Oh. Everyone ready?
Thank you for that, Peter. That was great.
No, I'm here for you. Damian Lillard had some doubts about his fellow players following all the rules in the NBA bubble. Here's Don's favorite player, Damian Lillard.
My confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules. Like when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, it'll be handled to a point where like we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
Also, he didn't make any sense there either. When we have 100% freedom, we don't follow any rules. Well, if you have 100% freedom, there are no rules to follow. Damian, come back to us a little bit, huh?
I love one of my favorite lines used on this show, but by both of you, but mostly Don, is "come back to us."
But I think that was appropriate there.
I know what he was trying to say, but
is that you've got a situation. If you don't follow the rules, in this case, it's not like cheating on a wife, breaking curfew, eating. A lot of carbs. This is a matter of life and death. And you're still going to break a rule?
It's life and death.
That takes a special something something.
Yeah. It's not only life and death, but it's short of life and death. It's life and death for the league that you're a part of. It could mean ending the whole thing.
But even if you think that's an exaggeration, that it's not going to bring the whole sport down and that nobody is going to die. You could still get somebody the virus on your team. Even if they're asymptomatic, they're going to have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, and then that could cost the championship because of your irresponsibility. So just – we're not – I really don't think it's that hard because you know why? We've been all doing it for 3+ months, right? We've basically been in a hub, especially Michael. What makes Michael any different than any other human being? I'm sure, Michael, you're frustrated.
I'm an inveterate rules follower.
That's a drop.
But it's not even rules. Because you wouldn't be violating any rules taking a box that was delivered to your house and putting it in. That's not violating a rule. You can go and get takeout. There's a lot of things you have chosen not to do because you just don't want to get this or give it to your family because you want to be ultra responsible.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are things you're allowed to do, Michael, that you're allowed to do that wouldn't violate any rule, any protocol that you choose not to do.
I'm an inveterate rules follower.
So why can't these guys just do the right thing? What are we asking them to do? For how long? To game seven. So this is going to supposed to start on July 30th. And what day is game seven of the NBA Finals supposed to be?
Sometime October 15th, something like that.
All right, so October 15th. So we're asking you to be in there for like 10 weeks. And that's at the absolute longest you can go. Some of these teams are going to be out after the eight games are played. Some of them are going to get swept in the first round and be out in 12 games, which they might be out of there in 2 weeks. So
October 13th is game seven.
All right, so... So it, 10
it should
weeks
be doable.
Max.
Well, Lillard is not the only person frustrated with the potential bubble. DeMar DeRozan of the Spurs has some thoughts as well.
The ping pong thing is, like you said, is ridiculous. Let's be honest. Like, guys can't do this, but we can do this and battle over each other. You know, it's that part just don't make no sense to me. And I got through 10 lines of the handbook and just put it down because it becomes so frustrating and overwhelming at times because you just never thought you'll be in a situation such as something like this. So, you know, it's hard to process at times.
I hear what he's saying, and I'll use a David Cohn phrase, which we use a lot on the show.
Okay.
The ping pong thing is eyewash. I mean, what, you're going to be on the court bodying up against somebody, sweat, spit, flying. The basketball, if you're a decent defensive team, you're right in each other's face. And you can't play ping pong.
Yep. But
I mean, come on.
But obviously, you know what they're trying to do. And that is just cut down on the exposure as much as humanly possible. Obviously, you got to play. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a hub in to begin with. So we understand that that's something you have to do. But if we can cut down the other stuff, aren't you then theoretically cutting down the opportunity to get sick? It might seem like eyewash, Michael, but you got to play the games, but you don't have to play ping pong. You don't have to be sitting next to each other watching television.
I get it, but
television.
The same people that you can't play ping pong, the same people you can't play ping pong with are the people that you're going to be sweating on.
I guess the point is, though, to cut down on any sort of extra interaction that's unneeded.
Right.
I guess.
I see why it's silly.
I mean, it should be very strict. I know it should be very strict, but there are some things that just seem eyewashy.
Well, but this is obviously what they're doing because part of the NHL protocol is when they're not on the ice, they're supposed to wear masks. So think about this. They're going to be off the ice. They're going to go in the dressing room. They're going to get changed. They're going to wear their mask. And then the two people that had to social distance 6 feet and wear masks are now going to go on the ice and line up next to each other for a face-off and go through the scrimmages where there's no mask and no social distancing. So I can understand how it seems ridiculous, but if half the time's on the ice and half the time's off the ice, then I guess you're cutting the exposure down to half in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you got to have some rules, right?
I'm an inveterate rules follower. Did you guys see the layout of the courts down in Disney?
No.
So, I mean, each team there has its own personalized court. But I don't know if these were practice courts or not, because I thought there was an actual arena that held several courts that they play. But these are in ballrooms. So the courts are laid out on carpet. And all I could think of, what if you have to take a 90-foot shot with no time left? It might hit the ceiling. It's a ballroom. So is that just practice, or are they actually playing games there?
Practice courts.
No, it's got to be practice.
You sure?
Yep. Laying down the practice floors. Wow, it's pretty cool, though. For practice courts, it looks pretty neat.
And you can see why they're spending $150 million on this because, I mean,
each team has a real – they have full logos, everything.
Yeah, Pacers, I saw the Heat, every single team. And now NBA is putting a new bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that didn't make the playoffs.
I got to tell you, for considering the whole thing is supposed to be socially distanced, having courts on top of each other in a bubble in a ballroom is interesting.
But if they were going to put
Miami court is gorgeous.
So obviously Chicago was up for an NHL hub, and now it's Toronto and Edmonton. So I guess whatever they were trying to pitch to the NHL, I guess they could pitch to the NBA for the 8 teams that are not going to go into the hub to go into that separate hub so they don't go that long without playing. But why not try to create another hub? When I first saw Woj's report about Chicago being a hub, I thought it was going to be an insurance policy if things go off the rails in Orlando. Shouldn't they be looking for a backup?
No, just another one.
Just have something and it's a standby. I mean, and one of the things I like about the NHL is having two, so that's less people they've got to worry about in that hub. And by the way, the NHL's delayed their camps by like 3-4 days. But I think that's because they're working on a new CBA.
I wonder
CBA.
If that's because of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, because the one thing that can come out of this is that not only that they'll have labor peace beyond the pandemic, and there are reports that they'll play in the Olympics too in this new CBA.
I have breaking news here.
Love it.
All right.
So I had a story I was excited to get to that I'm sure you guys have seen in ENN. For ENN, it was about the Washington Redskins. Investors in major companies, you're talking FedEx, PepsiCo, Nike, investors in those companies, people responsible for billions of dollars, have asked the Redskins to change their name, which was huge news that I had earlier. But J.P. Finley, my high school friend and of NBC Sports in Washington, reported at 6 o'clock that FedEx has asked the Redskins to change their name. This is a massive move, JP says. FedEx has major sponsorships with the Redskins, including naming rights to the stadium. Quote, we have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name. JP follows it up. Why is FedEx asking the Redskins to change their name such a huge deal? FedEx CEO Fred Smith, also a minority owner in the Redskins. Guys, there could be actual movement here for the first time.
Well,
but you know who has to make the final decision.
But don't the dollars ultimately make the decision for him?
Don't know with him. He's a weird dude.
Well, and then also, that's still the name of the stadium, right?
It's FedEx Field, yes.
Yeah.
You know what it'd be without FedEx, right?
Just Field.
But think about this. Let's say, all right, that happens. He says no. That ticks off the owner. FedEx pulls the naming rights from the stadium.
They probably can't, though.
Well, they just don't get paid anymore, I guess. They could probably pull it down.
I mean, they're contractually obligated to pay them.
But I guess if you don't want to do it anymore and you're giving the reason why, I don't want to do this anymore because they're not going to change the name, then nobody else is going to want to do the naming rights because then they'll look like they're in support of the name.
This
really put a lot of financial pressure, big time.
I'm telling you guys right now, I have been watching this for years. This is the first time there's been momentum. This is the fact that you have, I mean, the story that I was going to do earlier, like I said, was a pretty interesting story. I wanted to get you the exact number of dollars sort of represented by these investors. 87 different investment firms worth a combined $620 billion asked companies like Nike, FedEx, and PepsiCo to sever their ties with the team until they change the name. Now you take FedEx, who has naming rights to the stadium, specifically asking them to change it. This is going to mount. This is the sort of momentum you need.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barry Sobolerga, who works for the Washington Post, just tweeted out, in 1999, FedEx gave the Washington football team $205 million to name the stadium FedEx Field. In 2020, FedEx referred to the franchise as, quote, the team in Washington, close quote, to change its name. And he says this feels like a tipping point.
I'm telling you, this is huge. Really, really big.
Now, there's been talk about changing it to Warriors and maybe going with the arrow logo they used a few times. What do you think they do?
I've always liked the name Warriors because of the alliteration and because you can have a conversation about if it makes sense to have any connection to the Native American history with the team in a way that's more respectful, or do you just completely, is the respectful thing to do? And I don't know how you have this conversation and what kind of polls you do or how you figure it out. Does it make more sense to completely move on?
How about if you just change it to the Washington Snyders and just have a little picture?
Well, I saw the Washington Snyders. I saw this hat for sale at a 7-Eleven in Washington 2 days ago. I'm going to hold it up to the monitor, and I don't know if it was
in with a mask
to the 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
of course.
Okay.
But as you guys can see, when I hold this up and everyone watching on TV, it's the Washington colors, and it just says Washington, Washington on the hat. There's no mention of the team name. And this was just at a random 7-Eleven. So there is a groundswell that there's never been around this.
Now, this was sent to me from the Washington Post, because I saw this last night and I didn't get a chance to read it, that if Snyder does not change the name, the federally owned RFK Stadium site can no longer be used by Snyder for a new stadium. I guess, is he talking to or yes. trying to use that site to build a new stadium?
Oh, yes. That's the dream. So, guys, this is what's so pathetic. The dream for so long has been to return the team to Washington because their current location in Landover is just the worst.
Right.
It's just, there is no, have you been, Don, you've been, right?
Yes.
I mean, it is culturally just nothing. There's nothing about that stadium. So everyone wants them to go back to D.C. D.C. and Mayor Bowser has said it's not going to happen with the team name, what it is. So you have an opportunity to fight for this name that everyone believes you're on the wrong side of and stay out in the boonies, or change the name and be welcomed back into D.C. Could it be more obvious?
Yeah, RFK is scheduled to be raised in 2021, so I guess that would open up then him moving the team there. But if that's off the table, does he get snarky and then try to relocate the team?
Now, Michael Wilbon just tweeted out, I've been reporting on this name for 40 years. This is the first time I've ever thought Snyder was done with it.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say about it.
This would be, because Peter, if he wants to fight this, because now it went from molehill to mountain, then he's never going to do it. Then there's no shaming him. That there's no financially ruining him. He's going to stick with it.
I mean, that would be a level of stubbornness. I mean, now he's...
Epic.
It would be... I can't even describe what that would mean. It would be cutting off your nose to spite your face so bad to you're losing... Because I'm curious to what a current poll... You know, Mike, Don, we've seen all those polls about how people feel about the name. Imagine... I'm curious to what the fan base right now... Post George Floyd, how much of a swing there's been in the team name? I bet among non-Native American Redskin fans, at black, white, everybody, I bet there's a 10-15 point swing just since George Floyd.
And what are you even holding on to? I mean, no offense to the Redskins, really, but their history outside of Joe Gibbs is nothing really to be proud of.
Well, and particularly right? If you're Dan Snyder. Your whole time there has been a disaster.
I mean, they did go to Super Bowl VII, you know, but other than that, right, they didn't win a champion. They lost to the Dolphins. But you know, really, honestly, you know, it's not like you're the, you know, it's like legacy of winning through like 100 years. I mean, basically, this franchise, their era was under Joe Gibbs, the first Joe Gibbs.
Correct. No, Don, I got to be honest. You're right. It's there's Sammy Baugh a gazillion years ago, and there's the Joe Gibbs era. But before that, you know what they were? They were a team that was the last to integrate in all of sports and had a horrifyingly racist owner. Then, really nothing special.
That's not true. You had George Allen, you had Sonny Jurgensen, you had Billy Kilmer, you had special players.
No, good moments.
They didn't win Super Bowls.
But nothing iconic till Gibbs. They changed the name to the Gibbs, the Gibbses. I think that's really what would work.
Listen, every franchise has their share of players, Michael, but if you go over their history, they were just flat out bad. Like I said, they went to the Super Bowl.
Not when George Allen was the coach.
George Allen, they went to the Super Bowl, and they lost that Super Bowl. But other than that,
but they lost that Super Bowl to an undefeated team. What, 14-7?
14-7.
I mean, that's not a bad showing.
Hey, listen, I'm proud of the good parts of the team's history. Obviously, the Gibbs years are incredibly special. I love Sonny Jurgensen. I still will, for fun, talk about slinging Sammy Baugh. I get it. None of that gets the bottom line is none of it gets erased with the name. It's the city. They've always been here. Their entire legacy is in Washington. That's what matters.
Now, what did they do what St. John's did? So St. John's was the Red Men, and they changed it to the Red Storm. What if they did something like that?
I don't know.
Well, can you go Skins?
No. I think any allusion to the skin is a problem.
Yeah, but if it's just Skins, it's not a derogatory term. It's just Skins.
But some people say that term had to do with literally like skinning people. So I don't know. It could be as bad or worse. I don't know. Honestly, none of the three of us have any clue who's going to be offended by what. And the bottom line is you get a chance to start over and pick something your fan base is excited about. So
if the cookie incident has any predictive ability to it, he's not buzzing.
You hate what happened with that cookie.
I can't get over it.
And again, just be clear, you offered him a chocolate chip, not an oatmeal raisin.
Right. I offered him what everybody loves.
Where are the cookies?
Now, Michael's right. They did
cookies.
Have just playoff appearances. 71, 72, 73, 74, 76.
And pretty nice run.
Yeah, the George Allen run.
But
yeah.
1971, before that, 1945. They went from 1945 to 1971 without going to the playoffs.
So let's be clear. If you really want to break it down, it's a 25-year run of glory. It was a good 25 years, and it's been almost that long since. And I've said for years, since before this was a crazy hot-button issue, I have said I believe the negative karma around this name and the stubbornness is why they'll never escape it. And they've had one bad thing after another, from Sean Taylor's death to Alex Smith almost dying on the field 2 years ago. It never ends. You might want to try to change things around. So I don't think it's the worst idea. Before we wrap up here, good news, guys. In spite of acting like total jackwagons, Novak Djokovic and his wife have fully recovered from COVID-19.
Good.
Pretty fast.
This comes 10 days after disclosing that they had gotten it. Now, I watched Pablo Torre did an interesting feature the other day on the Sports Reporters about Djokovic. I didn't realize how much of a Novak Djokovic he was about this. Like, I didn't realize that it was all very specifically, I don't believe in everything that's going on, and I'm going to show you. I mean, he really wanted to dare and party and then ended up getting COVID-19, but fortunately him and his wife have recovered. And lastly, Cam Newton has said, and this may not surprise you guys, that for him, his going to New England is not about the money, it's about the respect. And of course, no one should be surprised by that, given
the deal that he got. But we now will see what Cam Newton is capable of doing in New England with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. He's made $100 million in his 10-year career. Do you know what he's guaranteed for this year, guys?
$500,000.
$550,000. So, no, it's obviously not about the money for Cam Newton 2020. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday, feeling like a Friday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.